The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. And that's because the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe has some great features like the available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third row seating, available dual wireless charging pads, and much, much more. So think about those places that you want to go, the things that you'd like to do this weekend, and where the Santa Fe can take you. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Freaking first cut. Golly!
Welcome into the First Cut Podcast, live on CBS Sports Network. Joe Musso alongside Rick Gaiman, Kyle Porter. Rick, I must always say thank you for allowing me onto the pod, the gatekeeper,
of course,
per se. We love to get things going here. We are the PGA Championship from Valhalla. What a week out in front of us here, fellas. We're going to touch upon all of it over this next hour, including some player names, but I want to start with the setting. Mm-hmm. Big boy golf course, 7,600 yards. It's wet. It's not going to be firm out there to an extent. At least the fairway is going to make it even longer for these guys. What sort of test is out in front of them this week, KP?
Yeah, it's different. The boys are back, by the way. The
boys are back.
Running it back from Oak Hill. This is fantastic. But it's different. It's kind of sandwiched between Augusta National and Pinehurst, where we see the U.S. Open in June. And I would say it's a very different test than those two places. We were talking about this earlier on CBS Sports HQ. It's a point and shoot sounds like condescending, right? But it's very much an execution. Justin Thomas said this on Tuesday. He said there's not a lot of different ways to play the golf course. And you look at a place like Augusta, you look at a place like Pinehurst, and there's a lot more strategy, at least to me, involved with golf courses like that. So to me, this is it's different. It's massive. We say this all the time, Rick, but it seems like there's only four, five, six guys that can win this tournament. You've been walking around more than I have. Do you agree with that statement?
I do. I think there's a few things. You're right in the sentiment that there are not a lot of options out here. The only place that I can think of where there's two options are the tee shot on seven. It's a mm-hmm. it's a split fairway. You can either play it down the right or you can play it down the left. But it's a par five, so I don't even think that the scoring variance is going to be all that high. I think they're going to be able to take advantage of it as long as they don't drive it into the water that splits those two fairways. That's the biggest decision that these guys are going to have to make. The rest of it is just going to be a test of execution, which is what we've been talking about all week long. And there are so many shots out there that you just have to hit a strong shot. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just no exception. You can't wipe it. You have to square it. You have to do that once off the tee, and then you have to do it on your approach shot. And there's really no other way around it. And that's why when we start saying there's only 10 or 12 guys, maybe less, that can win this, that's what we're talking about. It's not something where you get a tricked up golf course where maybe a couple guys get lucky and everything goes their way. It's like you're just going to have to beat it.
Our CBS Sports stat team does such a great job. There's always a couple in there that make you say, let's check that. And it's always right because they are the best in the business. But the one that got me, no player has won a PGA at Valhalla outside of the top four at the conclusion of any round. Not the first round, second round. You have to keep pace here. Why is that?
I think it's because there's not a huge there's probably not going to be a wide range of scores.
Yep.
I mean, there will be compared to skill levels, right? There's 20 club pros out here. There are past champions. You're going to see guys shoot high numbers, but when you talk about the guys that are really in the mix, the 10 or 12 or 15 guys, I think they're all going to be within a much tighter dispersion. So having to be on pace makes a lot of sense, KP. There's not going to be a way where John Rahm steals five shots, or some, you know, somebody, you might steal one or two here and there, but you're just gonna have to play good golf.
Yeah, it reminds me of Torrey Pines in that sense, yeah. Right? 2021 U.S. Open, you had that. I called it a pile up of Lamborghinis because it was Bryson, it was Rory, it was Rahm, it was, you know, big hitters only, mm-hmm. And you know, Justin Thomas again said this on Tuesday. He said you're probably gonna get a bunch leaderboard on Sunday, which, you know, it. Augusta National allows you to go out and separate. We've seen that. We've got a lot of finishes at the Masters recently that haven't been that exciting. You think about both of Scotty's. You think about, I guess Hideki's got a little bit tight, got a little bit in. Shane Rahm kind of blew Koepka out. I don't necessarily know or think that's going to happen at Valhalla this week. So you can say what you want about the lack of strategy, mm-hmm. or the point and shoot or whatever, but I bet on Sunday we're talking about how good this leaderboard is.
Much in that same vein, it's a place that's produced playoffs in two of the three PGAs that have been contested here, and in the senior PGA that's been contested here. So sit back, strap in. We might have extra golf for you this week on CBS Saturday and Sunday, coverage coming your way. KP, we've sort of danced around it a little bit here, but is there a premium to be put on any one aspect of the game? Obviously, you're going to have to drive it well, but is there going to be a possibility for someone who is proficient in long iron play, maybe not the longest off the tee, to remain relevant throughout this tournament?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm actually curious to throw this at Rick in terms of whether it's easier to hold. Like, there's been a lot of moisture this week.
Yes.
We got that on Tuesday. It was kind of rainy when we were coming up here today. Does that help hold fairways better or greens better? I'll give you a second to think about that, because I think the thing that I think about as it relates to this golf course is Tiger said on Tuesday, hey, I can't remember if he said 2000 or 2014, but I'm hitting driver wedge into the first hole, and now I'm hitting driver five wood. And that's a different – Rick, you and I were joking about how far back they've moved that first tee. But it's going to be a test of – there's going to be some four irons, five irons, six irons, just some clubs that we don't see a lot, especially on the PGA Tour, but even at major championships, which, man, I just think of guys like Ludwig and Rory and Rahm and Scheffler. Yeah. You're really like ball-striking flushers that are going to thrive at this golf course this week.
It has been a very wet week, but I'm really impressed with the course conditions. Phenomenal. This place drains so well. There are literally drains almost every 10 yards in the fairway. So when I was out there this morning and yesterday afternoon, the fairways were in perfect shape, and you were still getting a decent bit of roll. We saw it this morning. The greens are very receptive.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw shots that are making big pitch marks, and they're holding, they're spinning, they're doing all that fun stuff. To get back to your question, Joe, about, you know, what kind of what's the skill set, what could separate, I think it's club head speed. But outside of that, I think it's patience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is a golf course that there are going to be birdie holes, and there's going to be bogey holes. Or if you make par, you're thrilled with it throughout the week. There's a couple of opportunities out there, and you just have to kind of go with the ebbs and flows. Or, you know, bob and weave?
You could bob and
okay,
weave.
Okay, bob and weave. Bob and weave. Where, Muhammad Ali, there's a connection that I was working on something there. It didn't go great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Louisville reference number one.
There
we'll
you
that
go.
Direct.
Didn't
bob
see that coming.
Bob and weave your way like around that. This golf course.
Fly like right. We'll get there.
Yeah,
working on it. Rick, we do have a lot to look at in terms of the forecast. It could be a stop and start week here. That's going to dictate the draw one way or the other, and only time will tell. But it's not what Tiger Woods needs this week. We're going to get to some of the top names here in just a bit on the First Cut podcast, but Tiger at the top, let's just take care of it right now. What are you expecting to see out of Tiger Woods here on a wet golf course? It does not look like the easiest walk in the world, and Tiger's comments on Tuesday didn't even appear to be as glowing as past tournaments we've seen him at, KP. What did you take away from what he said?
Yeah, I thought he was, you know, he basically said, I'm not sharp, which obviously, but I think to hear him say that, I think we look at Tiger sometimes and think like, oh, he's Tiger Woods, he can figure it out. And even when he won the Masters in 2019, he had been playing a lot leading into that tournament, four or five times leading into that 2019 Masters that he won. We saw him on a cart. He was getting carted around somewhere early on Wednesday, and he just looked kind of miserable. And I don't.
The shoulders were slumped.
Yeah.
There's the picture you're seeing right there.
That's kind of what
a little of that.
Kind of what it looked like. And so I just, listen, Tiger has an advantage. We talked about this earlier, Rick. He has an advantage when he can think his way around a golf course, Augusta National, the old course, even something like a LACC or a Pinehurst, these kind of, you know, not the grown-up graduated rough, but more the nippy chips and, like, all the kind of creative stuff. He's really good. He's still really good when he can think and strategize his way around. This is not that golf course, and I don't think it's really going to go that well this week.
I'm expecting pain and suffering. I hope I'm wrong, and I hope it's just pain on the scorecard and not actual physical pain. But this is such a long golf course. If he is not driving it well, which there's not a ton of evidence that he will, he's going to be playing at a thick, kind of nasty rough throughout the week. Once you start compounding errors, which is something he's done recently, it's just going to beat you up, and there's going to be bogeys, and there's going to be double bogeys all over the place. Plus the fact we have generally seen him get worse each day because of the body. This is going to be a tough test for everybody. It's going to be a really difficult test for Tiger.
Despite all of that, honor on the tee always belongs to the 15-time major champion. But coming up next, we get to the names at the top of the odds board, a three-pack of players entering on form. This is the First Cut Podcast, live on CBS Sports Network.
Did you know more than 75% of Americans will experience foot pain in their lifetime, but only 10% will seek out a solution for that pain? Spoiler alert, your feet don't have to hurt, and I know foot biomechanics can be complex, but solving foot pain should be simple. It's a signature orthotic shape of the Superfeet insoles that give you the comfort and support where you need it the most. It redistributes and reduces stress and strain on your entire body. Think about those long walks on a golf course and how uncomfortable your feet can get. Well, they don't have to, and Superfeet has helped millions of people worldwide experience the life-changing magic of comfy, pain-free feet. When your feet feel good, so do you. It is one of the most important parts of your overall health and well-being. And for a limited time, Superfeet is having its biggest sale of the year. Go to superfeet.com to save 25% off site-wide and get free shipping. Hurry, sale pricing ends June 5th.
Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. Not only is Bluehost Cloud our fastest web hosting available, but it's also built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you can get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Back on CBS Sports HQ, live on CBS Sports Network. This is the First Cut Podcast. We got a lot of responsibilities this week, fellas. Our responsibility here is to have a conversation about those who truly have a chance to win this tournament. And your eyes immediately go to Brooks Koepka. He's done this before, back-to-back PGA championships, did it with the U.S. Open as well. Brooks coming in on form off a win in Singapore. And that's usually indicative of signs of things to come. He's such a momentum golfer, KP. How much was that win in Singapore worth, and how much is that dictating the way we're talking about him today?
Yeah, I think it was meaningful. I mean, he played pretty bad at the Masters for him, right, for his expectations.
By his own admittance.
Yeah, and he talked about that. He talked about that, I believe, at Adelaide, the Live Australia event, and played well there. Obviously played great at Singapore, and you know, this week will be really interesting for him because we've gotten into the point where every major championship that Brooks Koepka wins now is historically relevant. You could argue that every major championship win by anybody is historically relevant, but for him, we're getting into some pretty uncharted territory, so where the oxygen gets a little bit thin, right? I'm going to read the names, a list of names of guys that have won six majors since World War II. So the, what'd you call it, Joe?
Live ball era.
The live ball era.
A lot of baseball allusions here this week.
So this is the guys that have won six since World War II. Jack Nicklaus, Tiger Woods, Ben Hogan, Gary Player, Tom Watson, Sam Snead, Arnold Palmer, Lee Trevino, Nick Faldo, and Phil Mickelson, who beat Brooks Koepka in 2021 at Kiowa to win that PGA to get into the six major clubs. So that's the company that Brooks is trying to join this week, which is it's pretty extraordinary. Yeah. I mean, Brooks is weird to think about because he doesn't win a lot outside of majors. But if we're only looking at major championships, I mean, Phil, he's at the age now when Phil started winning majors, mm-hmm. and Phil got six from then on. Brooks still has a lot of years left to rack up several more.
Rarefied air, back in good health. Always great to have Brooks in the mix. But you said the word that I think might be the lever point for Brooks, and it's history or historical reference. And it feels like he doesn't engage with that all that much. That's great for us to sit and place what he's done and what he maybe does this week, Rick. But the fact that he doesn't engage with those ideas mm-hmm. of what this means, and he's just there to, like we just heard him say, hit good shots, play good golf, win a golf tournament.
One shot at a time.
He makes little of a big situation. Do you think that feeds into his success?
Of course. I mean, he has a skill set of living in the moment, right? That's a skill. He does not relish good or bad shots. He does not let that linger over his head. He doesn't think about what a sixth, seventh, eighth major championship could mean for his legacy. He can reflect on all of that later when he's retired and he's got a room full of trophies. But he's able to just take one shot at a time, as corny as that sounds. And we saw, like, we don't get to see Brooks a lot, mm-hmm. right? He's not on the PGA Tour anymore, and it is always jarring the first time you see him hit a shot. It just keeps going up. His apex is insane. It comes down soft. It floats like a butterfly.
There it is.
It stings like a bee.
There we go.
It does a lot of different things, but it is so
down
valuable.
Goes Gaiman.
It is
down
so
goes Gaiman.
Valuable at major championships when you're able to do that. And he looks as loose as can be. He looks like he's ready to just rock and roll this week.
I think one thing that when we talk about Brooks, we have to talk. He had this quote after Live Singapore, and he said, "At major championships, I'm willing to go to a place where other guys are not willing to go," which sounds a little bit vague and ambiguous, mm-hmm. right? But I think what he means by that is something that I think Scottie Scheffler has been very, very good at, which is staying present with each shot at a major. It's easy to get out of your skis if you're any of these top guys and say, well, if I just make – we do this when we're playing.
Yes.
Oh, if I make three birdies in a row, we're good to go, which I don't know why we would think that. But these guys do it too, right? And Brooks, I think, has mastered a skill of staying in the moment mm-hmm. and keeping his head when everything's getting chaotic. And that's why he's got five of these and looking at a sixth.
Anybody else, we might be having a bigger conversation about a putter change as well. Brooks, notably, yeah. With a different Scotty in the bag this week. I believe he did have it in play at the Masters as well in yep. Singapore. Got his first win on that flat stick. But let's talk about another guy who made a putting change and has lit the world on fire since. Scottie Scheffler, obviously in the minds of everybody, including his competitors. Since we last saw him, Rick, Tiger Woods glowing about his ball striking. Colin Morikawa talking about the things he needs to do and what he needs to be to compete with him. Jordan Spieth talking about, for the first time in his career, looking up to somebody younger than him. None of this prompted by anything but Scottie Scheffler's play. How does fear play into what Scottie Scheffler might do this week?
He is living rent-free yeah. in these guys' brains. And it's a different type of fear. It's not Tiger is going to destroy you. It is Scottie's inevitable.
Yeah.
And Scottie's going to be there. And I know I'm going to have to deal with Scottie eventually, right? He's not going to give a tournament away. If this was tennis, he'd probably have zero unforced errors, right? He just never plays himself out of contention. And when he piles up as many opportunities as he does, it's just a matter of time before he nips you. And KP, it's interesting because it has been a couple of weeks since we've seen him. I don't expect anything different, right? I mean, you talked about the process. He is so good, especially when he gets into the schedule of tournament week. When he gets into, it's this, same thing. I'm going to go to bed at the same time. I'm going to wake up. I'm going to do my process. Once he gets into tournament week, he is on autopilot. I don't expect anything but greatness this week.
Yeah, I think there's a couple things with Scottie here. I think people are not really internalizing, understanding what he's doing. This is historical stuff. I mean, look at these numbers. Since the start of 2020, he's minus 73 at the major championships.
Lift and separate.
Next best is Rory at minus 34 and Rahm at minus 33. Those guys have had amazing major runs over the last couple of years. Rahm won the Masters. Rory's been in the top 10 in seven of his last nine. He's only missed one cut. And Scottie is just destroying those guys. And I think It's the same thing that I said about Brooks, which is his – and I think about the 10th hole at the Masters, third round. He makes a double, hits it long there, makes a kind of a bad six. And you're like, okay, Ludwig's coming. Bryson's up there. You had all these guys that had a shot, and they didn't get him. And he eagles 13, right. And the tournament was over. And the thing that he has the ability to do is to stay in the moment – to not think about the six that he made on the 10th hole at the Masters, to play 11, to play 12, to eagle 13, and then it's over. And I think that ability to just, like I said with Brooks, stay present, focus on the next shot, and not think about what you did two holes ago, which is very easy to say and very difficult to do, is one of the things that has made him a two-time major champion.
It's certainly spectacular as he looks to become just the seventh player in that same modern history since 1934 to win the first two legs of the Grand Slam. If that is the case,
that'd be so cool.
And the conversation heads to Pinehurst with him 2-for-2, you're going to have to get out the ice bucket for these two guys. Because
the takes will not be reasonable.
We're going to be fired up. Let's not get ahead of ourselves here because, like you said, it's going to be hard for anyone to separate at this test, as history has shown us before. Rory McIlroy, another player coming in with a victory in his pocket, the Wells Fargo. We know that's a cozy setup for him. This as well, KP. How does Quail Hollow mirror what we might see here at Valhalla, and how does that play into Rory's advantage?
Yeah, I saw, I think it was Will Wilcox, who's the caddy for Sungjae.
That's right.
He said the back nine is very Quail Hollow-y. It reminded him of Quail Hollow. And you were out there, I believe, yesterday and saw something similar. But I mean, look, both of these guys that we're talking about, Scotty and Rory, they're first and second in the world in strokes gained off the tee this year, which is instructive for a place like this, right? Because that's where we're going to see, especially Rory with his length, really, I think, be able to have an advantage over. I mean, Joe and I were just on the range, and we're looking at a Charlie Hoffman.
Different game.
And it's like, man, what are you thinking when Rory's next to you, when Ludwig is next to you, when Xander's next to you, hitting, 320, 330, 340? It is a different game. And instead of having, maybe some lumber into some of these greens, Rory's going to have 6-iron, 7-iron, and other guys are going to have 3-iron, 3-wood. And yeah. that's a different scoring experience at a place like Valhalla.
Kyle asked me that same question when we were on the range. What is Charlie Hoffman thinking right now, sandwiched between Xander Schauffele and Ludwig Ober, and top 70 in tie, I think?
Yeah.
That's sort of where the head is at. Yeah. For a guy like Charlie Hoffman, the head for Rory McIlroy is to put an end to a decade-long drought, his last major championship obviously coming here 2014 at Valhalla. Not yet a calendar decade because of the change in rotation, but do you think, he's a guy, unlike Brooks, that engages with those ideas, thoughts of history, what this could mean. Do you think that works against him?
Yeah, I do. I mean, he is too much of a historian. He himself said he could rattle off, the last 50 Masters winners or something of that nature. The problem with knowing that is that everyone that passes that you don't get, the pressure gets ratcheted up. He knew the pace that he was on. He knows it's been 10 years. And every time another major passes, it's another missed opportunity for him to etch his name deeper into history. And I know that's what he wants. And that does start to work against you. I do think there's a couple of things, though. There is kind of a second season for Rory McIlroy, the post-Masters season. And he spends basically his entire offseason getting ready for that first full week in April. And now that that's gone, there's a little bit more freedom. And to your point, KP, on the stat sheet, on the way that these places set up, there is a lot of Quail Hollow out here. Driver heavy golf course with thick rough where you're going to have to hit a lot of mid to long irons into greens, maybe add in a little bit of thick rough around the putting surfaces. This is all very good stuff for Rory.
The way he hit driver on Saturday at Quail Hollow, I think it was 2.99 strokes gained.
Yeah, it's like fourth best round ever.
We were texting about it, and you said, fourth best driving round ever. And you could almost see him just so eager to just go get driver out of his bag. And that I think he has so much confidence in that club right now. And I think the more important thing last week was the wedges were good.
Yeah.
The short irons. Now, might not have as many at a kind of a extreme, bigger version of Quail Hollow out here, but I think that's an encouraging thing if you want Rory to win.
No corner he can't cut. We're not cutting any corners here on the First Cut Podcast. We got plenty more coming throughout the hour, including a surprise guest. Block out some time. More coming on CBS Sports Network.
Robert Half Research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back to the First Cut Podcast live on CBS Sports Network. Joe Musso alongside my guys Rick Gaiman and Kyle Porter here. Taking us through it all throughout the week at Valhalla. So much at stake, and sometimes we get hyper-fixated on the moment that we live in, but there are historical implications all over the place. Most notably, Jordan Spieth,
yeah.
A PGA away from completing the career Grand Slam, would be just a small handful of players to do that. We haven't seen one in a very long time. I'm not going to ask you to go too deep on Spieth because we know he's not on form. We know the wrist is bothering him. So I'll ask it to you this way, KP. As our resident historian, what is the most historical possible income here? Outcome here at the PGA?
Yeah, the income's good, too.
Yeah, the income's not bad for anyone.
I thought he meant just Spieth historian, not overall historian.
Well, yeah, Spieth Island. How are things on Spieth Island?
Spieth Island, we're boarding up the windows. We are
Real estate is very cheap.
Sandbags out. We're bracing for
looking for a real estate agent.
Turbulent times ahead. Obviously, Spieth winning the slam would be the most historic outcome. I think there's an argument to be made. You can go one of three ways after that. Mm-hmm. I think you can go Brooks getting to six. I just earlier on this show, I just read out the guys that have done that.
Yeah.
They're all one name guys: Tiger, Jack, Arnie. I mean, it's a who's who list. You could go Rory getting to five and really making the Rory Brooks major debate or not debate, but kind of clash. Really interesting for the next 5 or 6 years. And then you could go Scotty taking the slam to Pinehurst. I mean, we've only seen, Rick, over the last quarter century, really. We've seen 2002, Tiger takes it to Muirfield. He won the first two in 2002. Gets blown away, and I believe it was the third round, shot 81. Storms blew in, kind of his famously his worst round ever to that point on the PGA Tour. And then in 2015, Spieth took the slam to the Old Course. Finishes fourth, one shot out of a playoff after he hit the worst tee shot I've ever seen on the 18th hole. Almost hit it out of bounds on one, which was unbelievable. So we don't see guys take the slam to the third or fourth major very often. It's very rare, like Joe pointed out earlier, that anybody wins the first two of the year. And I think what Scotty has a chance to do here, golf needs a feel-good story. I mean, think about the last couple of years. We need a feel-good story. Scotty taking the slam to Pinehurst would be that feel-good story of the year.
Yeah, you have to vote. Process of elimination, you have to vote Rory as option. That has to be out. Because Brooks has already done it. Brooks has already gotten to five firsts as a modern player. So it would be cool. It would be awesome. It would end a drought and would set us up for the future. But it wouldn't be as impactful right now. I think it is Scotty. I do. I mean, because not only would it give him three, which would, again, once you start getting past two, the lists get shorter and shorter. But I did not think, and I still don't really think, a slam is possible.
I agree. There's so much luck.
If I ask you that question on Sunday and Scottie Scheffler's holding the Wanamaker, will you have the same answer?
No, I'm a prisoner of the moment. I will be.
He'll be running laps out here.
Yeah, I'll already be handing him the slam. I think it would be so incredible. A career Grand Slam is one thing. To do it all in 1 year, my brain is not ready to handle that.
Because we've said it off air. I don't think there's a setup more conducive to what Scotty's great at than Pinehurst.
Yes.
He is going to be in the mix at Pinehurst.
Yeah.
The short game, the chipping that he doesn't get credit for, he did obviously at the Masters. But that's going to play right into his hand. Then you're obviously at the behest of the draw at an Open Championship. But if we are at the fourth leg. I mean, that is the only thing anyone's talking about.
Yeah, then it becomes a story win or lose, yeah. Right? It's Scotty won the slam or Scotty didn't win the slam. But if you want me to pick right now, I will pick Scotty to win Pinehurst. I think he's going to win the U.S. Open this year. He played great at LACC last year. I think the other thing to keep in mind is you look at take it back to 2017, the last seven winners of six winners of the PGA, JT, Brooks, Morikawa, Phil, JT, Brooks. That's a hitters only list. Yeah.
Couple honorable mentions. If Morikawa won, that'd be what, 3-20 starts at majors, which would be an unbelievable pace. Ludwig, winning his second Masters or his second major.
Let's go there because this is a group of players that obviously deserves the limelight. Players that have established themselves that are not just playing for a trophy and a check this week, but for history because of what they've already done in their careers. There is a young pack of players out here, Ludwig Åberg headlining it, but a number of guys who either don't have PGA Tour wins, have one PGA Tour win, that could conceivably be on that leaderboard, just as we saw him at the Masters. Who's a young name that you have your eye on clear? I mean, we were watching Åberg hit balls on the range here, and he looks like he could win everything.
He's insane.
Right now. I mean, it's fantastic, Rick. Let's go on Ludwig for a little bit here. What's going to be the make or break moment in his week this week?
I think it might actually be the knee, right? So he withdrew from his most recent start with a knee injury. I asked him about it earlier. He very much downplayed it. He said he is wearing a brace, but it's not going to impact him. I thought he was very – I mean, listen, he's great, and I think he was just kind of downplaying it and – didn't want to get into knee conversations, but I think that's the only thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, his game is unbelievable. We are not even a year into his professional career. He's got two wins worldwide. He was on the Ryder Cup winning European team. He tried to win the Masters, was in the mix there. It's nuts what he's doing.
He obviously hasn't won at the rate or amassed what Victor Hovland did a year ago, but feels like he's occupying that line on the playbill, if you will, in this story that we call Golf KP. What are your expectations for Victor? Because this seems like a guy who had it all on a string. I think we had the conversation last year after the Tour Championship. I had him signed up for two majors.
Yep.
And it's just a completely different conversation right now.
Well, I think one of my takeaways from Oak Hill last year when we did this very thing at Oak Hill, I said the thing that I was most convinced of this week is that Victor Hovland's going to win at least one major. I mean, he stared Brooks down, didn't really falter until the 16th hole and kind of got a bad break in the bunker there and ended up losing. But Kevin Van Valkenburg wrote a great piece for NoLaneUp.com I believe it came out on Wednesday, and just he's searching. He's lost, mm-hmm. and he's searching and he can't find it. And I think the place that Rick and I have arrived at, I think both of us, is that guys like Victor, who have the pedigree that he has, from being a junior to being at Oklahoma State to winning the USAM to everything that he's done, they will eventually figure it out. But it makes you wonder, a little bit like Bryson, if the curiosity and the going down rabbit holes is going to lead to some inconsistency over the course of his career, right? Because you look at – I think about Rory being – I wrote about this for CBSSports.com this week. Rory's been in the top 15 – or top 16 in the world for like 12 straight years, 13 straight years. And I don't know that that's coming for Victor, which doesn't really matter as it relates – you can still win a major and bounce in and out of the top 15, but – I just don't know that he's that type of guy.
Rick, you remain close to the situation here with Victor. I always defer to your point of view on him, having your ear to the ground. Obviously, the coaching change made a lot of news earlier on this season. Just where's the mental at right now coming into a week like this?
I think the good news for Victor is he's kind of always searching, right? I mean, right? He kind of
he doesn't mind not seeing the forest through the trees.
Yeah.
He's just looking at trees.
Phoenix.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, that
was... that was a lost boy. And then he ended up
in a bunker we did a full hour-long podcast. He's working the same bunker shot as we get off air.
And that's the same year he goes on and shreds the PGA Tour and wins the FedEx Cup. So he's always in the midst of a search, which is kind of built into his DNA. The good news being the fourth round at Quail Hollow was one of the best approach rounds he's had. He's gained like four strokes on approach. So maybe he feels like he's close there. The problem is those short game concerns are back. There's been basically a full regression to his 2022 form, something that we didn't really see in 2023. Maybe it's the coaching change. Maybe it's spending more time on the full swing. Maybe it's just, hey, it's golf or all of the above. But that is also something that we need to continue to keep an eye on.
So many amazing storylines at this PGA. I feel like someone's going to get left out. I'm glad you mentioned Morikawa. He seems to be on form, the ball striking back to maybe not the level we saw at its peak, but very, very good stuff out of Colin Morikawa. And Xander Schauffele, I mean, it can't go without saying what he almost did a week ago and how that fed into the narrative surrounding his inability to get it done. What we saw last week, KP, does that get him closer to what he's trying to do or further from it?
Well, I was looking at – I went back and looked at, okay, who are the five best guys since the start of 2022? So statistically, strokes gained. There's five guys that are at two strokes gained or higher. What is that, like a top five level, basically?
Yeah, massive.
So you're playing as a top five player in the world. It's Scheffler, Rory, Rahm, and then Cantlay and Xander. Mm-hmm. Scheffler's got 11 wins in that time. All of his wins have come since the start of 2022. Rory and Rahm both had 7. This is non-team wins. Rory won the Zurich. I'm throwing that out. Cantlay had, Xander had 2, and Cantlay had 1. Mm-hmm. And if you're Xander or Cantlay, but we're talking about Xander, you look at that and you're like, man, I'm playing at a clip that Rahm and Rory, and maybe not Scheffler, but Rahm and Rory are playing at. But the wins aren't there. And right. You have to look at that and you have to deduce that's a problem.
Yeah.
Like that's an issue. And I don't know what the solve is, but there's no getting around the fact that that's an issue for him.
I have always been on the team that, hey, winning is a lot about luck and it's going to start falling in Xander's direction because of all the stuff that you're talking about, KP. He just puts himself in the mix and the numbers don't add up. It was like when Scotty was going on that stretch where it was like, why isn't Scotty winning? Mm-hmm. Okay, well now he's winning too much, right? It's just they just start happening in bunches, and for Xander, it just hasn't happened. And that Sunday, I will have etched in my brain at Quail Hollow the way that he became a spectator to Rory McIlroy. Yeah. He stepped aside. He made an unbelievable eagle on 7. He took the tournament right there, and then he just let Rory have it.
Rick, I could go for days. Yeah. I'm like Anthony Kim coming off the 14th here at the Ryder Cup. I didn't know it was over either, but I'm being told we do have to take a break here. Plenty more coming on the First Cut podcast live on CBS Sports Network. Joe Musso, Kyle Porter, Rick Gaiman. We'll be back quick. Back on the First Cut podcast live on CBS Sports Network, Joe Musso, Kyle Porter, Rick Gaiman, fellas. We got to get to some picks here. Assign a little bit of confidence. See who you like, who your eye will be most closely on. Rick, give me a pick and then a long shot. Two players you think fit what's going to be asked here this week at Valhalla.
Yeah, I looked at this from a very value-centric standpoint, and I went with Jon Rahm to win because I saw 16-1 and my eyes popped out of my head for a guy who's a former number one player and I believe is one of the 8 to 12 golfers who can actually win this tournament. He is literally, not even exaggerating, one of the best drivers of the golf ball on planet Earth, and then he can hit his long irons and he's got a great short game that'll be just fine around Valhalla. And then I'm backing that up with another guy who's yet to break through but has a pedigree in major championships, and that's Will Zalatoris at 80-1. 80-1. Yes, the putter can be a problem. Yes, he was miserable at the Wells Fargo Championship. But when you put Will Zalatoris in a major championship setup that asks you to do similar things that you have to do at Torrey Pines, drive it well, hit long irons, do it again and again and again, that smells like Will Zalatoris to me.
KP?
Yeah, I've got Scotty Scheffler winning this golf
bravery.
Yeah, I'm really going out on a limb. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the most impressive parts about Scotty Scheffler this year, or throughout his career, but especially this year, he wins on so many different types of golf courses: Augusta National, Harbortown, TPC Sawgrass, Phoenix. He wins Bay Hill. He wins everywhere. And so yes, this is a different test than an Augusta, than a Pinehurst, than a Troon. But I think he's going to handle it plenty fine. He's top 2 in the world off the tee, and that's what this golf course is going to demand this week for the PGA Championship winner. And then I'm going with another guy that is elite off the tee. That's Cam Young. I really like Cam Young. I think he's like 50, 55, 60-1. It came down to kind of him and Bryson for me. Bryson's shorter. I think Bryson has a very good chance this week at 28-1. But Cam Young's just been incredible off the tee, and he's really kind of popped a couple times this year. Finished second at Valspar. Had a quiet top 10 at the Masters, and I really like the way he's played at major championships over the course of his career.
If Scotty does get it done, it would be his first win beyond the month of April. All of those wins coming from the start of the season, February through April. We'll see if he can get one in the summer months. I don't know. Correlation, causation. It seems like that game plays in any month, in any town. We'll see if he can do it in Louisville. Myself, not that anyone's asking, Rory McIlroy is my pick to win. Form, fate, all of it. It lines up and tells me that it's going to be Rory this week, putting that drought to an end. A celebration here, full circle from what was a decade ago. Long shot, based off of the fact that I just saw him on the range, and he always gives me butterflies. Ricky Fowler sporting a 200-1 or longer number, depending on where you get
it. There's a reason
it.
For that.
Yes, there is a reason for that. Our friends in the desert always know what's going on, but Ricky is still a guy that I hold out hope for to get a major championship, to further solidify his place in this game and the history of this game. I don't know if it comes this week, but at 200-1, a sprinkle and a thank you, maybe?
What if I told you somebody from one of the final two pairings in 2014 is going to win this tournament this week?
You should bet them all, and because they're all very – there's a lot of long shots in there.
Yeah. time moves fast on these players. Time moves fast on us as well. We got a little bit more coming here on the First Cut Podcast, live on CBS Sports Network. A quick break, and we're back. Back on the First Cut Podcast, live on CBS Sports Network. Fellas, we got a little extra time here, so let's play a game of, simply put, yes or no. Can this player win? Can't this player win? Give me the number first, KP. We've had the conversation. How many guys can actually win this tournament? Let's set the parameters first.
For me?
For you.
I think like six.
Six guys.
I'll take over six.
Okay. How far over?
Well, it's not provable. We'll never 12. Be able to prove this.
I know. That's why I'll just take it to the grave that I'm right.
Okay. So 12 and six. Going to be a lot of no's coming from Kyle Porter. I want to start with a name we have not said yet, but local ties here to Louisville. Form not there, but a PGA champion twice over in his own right. Justin Thomas, yes or no, Kyle Porter?
No, but he might win like six PGAs in his career, which would be weird.
Just not this one.
Yeah.
Okay.
Obviously, yes. He's won two of these before. He's at home, and he's one of the elite approach players in the world.
You think JT can beat Scottie Scheffler this week?
I mean,
that's the problem.
The problem is Scotty just wipes everybody off the board.
So it's just one? We're saying one guy can win.
Yeah, the answer is either one or 12. It's not six.
All right, let's go to maybe... obviously, the odds board suggests yes, but is it too big to write, too big to handle Rory McIlroy?
Yes.
Okay. Yes, of course.
And obviously, it's too big to write.
And it's too big to write. I'm just trying to get you over six yeses. I'm just going to offer
Scotty Scheffler, yes, Rory McIlroy, Brooks Koepka.
Yeah.
Three yeses.
Yes.
Okay. John Rahm.
Yes.
Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes.
Oh, we're up to five.
I'll tap out here. We're up to five. Let's say, can Cam Smith win this tournament this week?
No, not a chance.
Can Cam Young win this tournament?
You got him in a bind.
He does. Yeah.
I do. You do. You got me.
You got a long shot.
You got me in a corner here. Maybe it's seven. Maybe because the two names I have in my head are Cam Young and Wyndham Clark, who we haven't talked about at all.
Yeah,
who's a reigning major winner,
Ludvig Åberg.
So let's go to Wyndham Clark here for a moment because
Ludvig. Maybe it is 12.
Never recorded a round under par at a PGA Championship. Is there any through line to be drawn there? Or has it just been hasn't shown up for those few opportunities he has had?
Yeah, it's interesting because you think PGA ballparks would set up really well for him. His ball speed's like 184, 185. He mashes the ball off the tee. And you think about the right miss that got talked about a lot at LACC last year. This is a course that can kind of handle it, right? Depending on what hole you're on, because it's not running out. Or do you disagree?
No, I mostly agree with you. I think the biggest thing is he has only played one PGA Championship as new Wyndham.
Yeah.
So he played. It was the Wells Fargo win, and then the next week he missed the cut, and then he went on. I just think it is. He is in a new era of his game right now.
It's like the Max Homa thing. Like, oh, he didn't have a top 10 and a major. Well, yeah,
doesn't
he
matter.
Was terrible for like the first 4 years of his career.
Yeah.
How far down the board would you take me? Like, my eyes go to a guy like Matthew Pavon, who's had success early this season. I know it's a no for you, KP.
Yeah.
But this is a tournament that at times has produced a winner that is unexpected. Let's maybe go with the more expected here. We do have some good names. Colin Morikawa is a resounding yes for me. Rick, you're giving me the yes as well, yeah. Kyle?
No.
Why not?
He's not long enough. I think this course is going to play like 8,000 yards.
Okay.
And I think you're going to get into a situation where there's a ton of 3, 4, 5 irons in. And that's a good area of his game, but you're going to have Rory and Scheffler and Rahm hitting, 7, 8, 9 in.
We were having this conversation, Rick and I, in your absence yesterday, KP. And it's interesting when you think about it, not a lot of major tests end with a par 5. You get it at Torrey, you get it at Pebble, you get it a couple places. You get it here at Valhalla. Do you like a par 5 finisher, specifically this one?
I do like a par 5 finisher. I don't know that I love this one.
Okay.
I don't know. You think back to 2014, right? Phil almost chips in for 3, which would have been
bonkers,
insane. The third straight playoff, right? Mm-hmm. That they've had at this golf course for a major championship. So, I think there are some outcomes. I just don't like the lack of. We were talking about this earlier. The lack of variance in the potential outcomes in terms of scoring on a bigger level. Like if you look at the whole round, but also on some of the individual holes, it doesn't feel like a place where. I think about TPC Sawgrass. You think some of those holes, you're like, man, 3's in play, 7's in play.
Yeah.
And I don't necessarily think that about this course when it's wet.
It's I'm warm on it.
Okay.
I think that, you can get in trouble. We saw Rory kind of flirt with the water on the right on 18. So you can get in trouble a little bit. It's got to be a pretty big miss. I agree with Kyle. Like, I don't think 8's in play, and I don't necessarily think there's a lot of 3's in play, but it's not the worst spot I've ever seen.
You're talking about variance. How about narrative variance? Because there's a clear difference the way we're talking about Joaquin Niemann coming into this major and the one he was coming into just a month ago. Where do you see the change in that narrative? We don't get to see him play golf all that often, but it seems like a player who is long enough.
And I think what's really interesting about Joaquin, obviously individually, he's very talented. He hasn't played that well at majors. Now, it might be a Wyndham thing where it's like, oh, this is a different player than when he was 21, 22. But I think the other thing that's really interesting, that's one of my main storylines this week, is just the LIV guys coming into this week. There's been a lot of chatter, a lot of jawing by guys like Taylor Gooch, who are like, hey, we deserve to be in this field. We deserve to be in this field. And it's like, okay, well, you're in it now. Like, what are we going to see?
Right.
And so Joaquin's part of that group to me.
In Norse mythology, Valhalla means Garden of the Fallen Heroes. Not to be mistaken with the LIV Golf Tour. I wanted to slide that. I wanted to get that.
You've
one
been dying
at some that point is. This week. You presented opportunity there, KP. Plenty of opportunity out in front of this field of 150 plus. The best in the world going at it at Valhalla for Kyle Porter, Rick Gaiman. I am your host, Joe Musa. We will have you covered here on CBS Sports Network, the First Cut Podcast, live all week long. Be sure to tune in. Join us on CBS Sports HQ as well, pre- and post-round, and coverage this weekend coming on CBS. Jim Nantz, Trevor Immelman, and our award-winning team bringing you all the latest at the PGA Championship. Download, subscribe, and enjoy the First Cut Podcast.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.